Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Tuesday, President Zelensky addressed the House of Commons from his headquarters in Kyiv. It was an historic, profoundly moving experience. Although I was born 5 years after the end of World War II, the echoes of Winston Churchill's speech to the Commons in June 1940 was not lost on me, and it stirred something deep inside. President Zelensky is not a man for turning. Murderous threats do not cower him or his people. They will fight for their land in the forest, the fields and the streets, whatever the cost will be. That determination to go on regardless of the cost echoes again this morning in the hearts of all believers. Pharisees had come to Jesus to warn him that Herod Antipas, the one who had John the Baptist executed, was out to get him. Get away from here, they said. He wants to kill you. In reply, Jesus calls Herod that fox, which is more scornful than it probably sounds. Jesus has only contempt for Herod's cunning and deceitful ways. Yet at the same time, he knows just how destructive he can be. Anyone who has kept chickens will know that once a fox gets into the coop, it's unlikely to take just what it needs. Rather, it will slaughter the lot, leaving just a bloody mess. Jesus says, go and tell that fox, I will continue to proclaim God's kingdom in words and deeds until my work is done. It will be God, not Herod, who determines where and when Jesus will die. Jesus is well aware of the price to be paid for the course that he is set on, and no one is going to deflect him. Now, Jesus clearly didn't expect to die in Galilee, in Herod's province, but in Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Now, Jesus chose his time of arrival in Jerusalem very carefully. He didn't go for the Festival of Weeks, Harvest Festival. He didn't go for the Festival of Tabernacles, spiritual cleaning. He didn't even go on the Day of Atonement, when sins are forgiven. Instead, he chose to go at another great pilgrimage occasion, the Passover, which calls to mind the release of the Israelite slaves in Egypt. He went at Passover, the time when slaves go free. And his death would not simply produce an echo of that event, but it would resonate with it, resounding with it, amplifying it in people's hearts. Good Friday, and then on the following Sunday, Jesus' sacrificial action would be seen as a means of freedom. Freedom for many, whatever the form of slavery that may entail. Now Jesus' lament for Jerusalem further reveals the meaning of his death. Of the city, he says, "How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." It's well attested that after a farmyard fire, dead hens have often been found, blackened and scorched, but with live chicks under their wings. They've given their lives for their brood. So fire would rain down on Jesus. The full force of all the world's evil, past, present and future, would be focused onto him. Ultimate victory over evil would not be by force of arms, would not be by human effort, but by God alone. God's Son taking upon himself, absorbing its power, absorbing all the evil, all the sin, the hatred, the affliction, all the wounds of the world. And in a mysterious way, free us all by bringing us the offer of life with him forever. Now, whenever that is understood, people everywhere will say, "Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord." St. Paul this morning speaks of our hope in Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, he says, and it's from there we're expecting a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls us now to stand firm in the Lord. Now the theme of this sermon this morning is determination. Jesus would not be deflected. He set his face like a flint in order to go and to achieve what God called him to do. Now in this time of Lent, we are called to look at our own spiritual health. And the determination to grow in godliness is on the agenda. We will need to be strong enough to ensure that we take hold of the means available to us to grow in godliness. I'm talking about the classic disciplines of the church: prayer, fasting, silence, confession, contemplation, Bible study, all those sorts of things, so that God has something to work on. So Paul is thinking of this when in one of his letters he writes to young Timothy that he should train himself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Now that's not talking about salvation by works. It's about putting ourselves in the place where God can work on us, where his grace can be at work, turning us a little bit more like Jesus. I think it's akin to getting in the shower. If you want to get wet, you've got to move and stand where the water can fall on you. Now, when there's a link between our dream to grow a little bit more like Jesus with an intention to use the means that are available to us, then this morning's collect will have some purchase, that by prayer and the discipline of Lent, we might enter into the mystery of Christ's sufferings, and by following in his way, come to share in his glory. Amen.